Our next public hearing is ordinance number 23-04.
This is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 24, Section 115.172, and Article 25, Section 115.194.5, to add provisions for special requirements for solar farm conditional uses. Mr. Chairman, submitted into the record for this ordinance, we have a copy of the ordinance as it was introduced by County Council, and we have one letter of comment that was received today, and paper copies have been printed and placed on your desks. We've received no other comments, and Mr. Robertson, do you want to summarize this? Or
no, I mean, I can. Yep. So yep. Basically, what we try to do is, and I think we've talked about it with you all before, is essentially just codify the standard conditions like what you saw in the two motions
right.
today. You know, they're all becoming the same, so rather than have it come up each time, just codify it. One thing, there is a typographical error that I don't know, it's somewhere in the transmittal. At line 64, it should state the landscaped buffer strip shall remain free and clear. For whatever reason, the word the and the word landscape was omitted from that, but we'll pick that up in the drafting. One thing Mr. Whitehouse may want to touch on, you know, this is intended to address, you know, single-use solar farms like what we saw enacted on today. It's not a conditional use, nor has it ever been a conditional use for somebody to put solar on their home, on their accessory building, you know, as an ancillary use for a commercial building.
Correct, and it's been the long established practice of the department, and we see these with building permits all the time, that if you're putting solar panels on your roof, or you're putting a ground-mounted solar array within the curtilage of a dwelling house that's already an existing dwelling, they've always been permitted, but what this ordinance seeks to do is to confirm that in the ordinance. So I don't think it's actually written down anywhere in the code right now that that is a permitted accessory use. So in conjunction with the special requirements that Mr. Robertson was referring to, this ordinance also seeks to clarify the long-standing practice. So.
Okay. That it?
That's it. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's see if there's anybody here that would like to weigh in. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to, or just from a general neutral position on ordinance number 23-04? Mr. Hutt, come enlighten us.
Did you mention that we got the letter from?
Yes.
I think we may have someone standing by. I believe we have at least one person standing by on live stream.
For the record, David Hutt, Wofford & Morris James. Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Robertson addressed this a little bit in the comments that they just made. I think maybe in anticipation of some of my questions that I was about to ask that they knew were coming. In section 115-194.5, or the proposed discussion about solar facilities, subsection A that starts at line 118 says that solar panels and similar uses that are accessory to the principal use on the same lot and not used for commercial purposes shall be permitted in all districts. And the question that comes up in my mind is, first, solar panels are almost always used for commercial purposes. Whether you're residential or commercial, you're always putting money or electricity, which you get a credit for, or money back onto the grid, and somehow you get either a credit or cash depending on whatever your arrangement is. And so saying it's not used for commercial, saying that in order to qualify it has to not be used for commercial purposes, concerns me that we're creating a difficult definition for Mr. Whitehouse and his staff that I see here to determine. And I appreciate the historical interpretation that we heard tonight, but none of us are going to be here forever, and so that history may be lost. The other thing that, although Mr. Wheatley has been here all
short, told me 10 years ago.
And that brings me to a secondary concern. So my first concern is that it says not used for commercial purposes, and I think that's unclear in the context of a solar array or panel. The second concern is, you know, and spoiler alert, you're going to see something like this in the near future. But if you have a conditional use, what's the ancillary use on that property? Because I understand if I own a large building, if I own the outlets, and I wanted to put solar panels on top of the outlets, clearly the solar panels are ancillary to a permitted use in a C1 district, the permitted use being a retail location. If I apply for a conditional use, say to put in a self-storage facility on a piece of property, does, because I applied for the one use, does that make everything else ancillary? So I can do the solar panels as an ancillary use at that point? And I guess that's the question that I would have, and frankly, I think it's a question that the county's going to face in the near-term future.
Well, how would you answer that question? If you, if we're up to you, what would you do?
Well, I don't, again, as many public hearings as I attend, the less public hearings my clients have to attend, the better they are.
So having it be an ancillary use in any case would perhaps be a benefit to them.
It, then I would say that, right, once you have a conditional use,
right,
and it, something like solar panels are an ancillary use, and then the only language that concerns me is the commercial purpose. Because, I mean, frankly, if you have a self-storage facility, there's not going to be a need in that, theoretically, or most likely, not going to be a need in that self-storage facility for all of the electricity that's being generated, so you're going to be doing that for a commercial purpose.
You're raising a great question. I mean, it's an excellent question. It's something we should. I'm okay. I mean, I think it's fine if it's an ancillary use, no matter what, because it's like a heating system or a cooling system or security lights or something. I mean, especially if it's attached to the building, and then if it's, of course, I guess if it's ground mounted, I guess as long as it's within the setbacks and so on. I mean, what's the difference between that and growing soybeans and corn?
Sure. Just like another aspect to look at, more as opposed to the commercial use of the solar razor panels, the amount of electricity generated could be something to look at, because the solar farm arrays are going to be generating, you know, megawatts of power as opposed to a residential panel, which, you know, may supply a home and be able to, you know, revert some of that back into the grid, as Mr. Hutt mentioned.
Okay.
And other than answering your ancillary question, Mr. Chairman, I don't have an answer to the commercial question, and I think because there's a lot of variables there with all the various programs and such that people can participate in, whether it's residential or commercial. And you've heard many of them, because I know you've heard a number of solar panel or solar array applications, and everybody talks about, you know, the community solar, you know, there's various different components. Those are my only questions or comments.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you
very
much. Thanks, David.
I have a question, though, because it says one of the things you're doing is saying that everybody has to have a vegetated buffer. Well, tonight we told somebody they didn't have to have a vegetated buffer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems that.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because that would be. I mean, as he said in the beginning, this is really for solar farms, for projects that are primarily solar. In other words, there's no building, because if you have a building and then you want to put panels on top of it, you don't want to have to. You can't have a 100-foot buffer because you're on top of a building. You know,
right.
So I think we'd have to have some way to differentiate between these applications.
Well, and your point is, like, when it's out in the middle of a farm and we didn't require one, yeah, it may be that we pull that out as a
buffer to other residences or buildings or something like that. Yeah.
Just a waiver.
I mean, what we do with, it's kind of like when we did
request a waiver.
Chicken houses.
Yeah.
And you had to have 600 feet and
we can address that to get more
to the house and stuff like that.
That's right. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to speak in the room? Okay, operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to ordinance number 23-04?
If there's anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
But he didn't have to refresh.
Well, he texted me.
Oh, okay.
And I told him, I said, we're all good.
We have a mic on the line.
There you go.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay?
Sure. Yes. Hey, Mr. Ryman, how are you?
Great.
Give us your name for the record. Yeah, thanks.
My name is Mike Lyman. I'm here tonight representing the American Council of Engineering Company, who submitted a letter to you that Mr. Whitehouse had previously referenced. I'm also an engineer at the working group. Our address is 309 South Dundas Avenue, Dover, Delaware. AZDC members have a lot of experience processing solar plans. Our company does as well. We've been processing these types of plans in Delaware, Maryland, and the region for a number of years. I've personally been involved in the new Kent County solar ordinance that was adopted last year. We have some familiarity with these types of projects. We appreciate the opportunity to review the ordinance. We appreciate the staff sending us and having the opportunity to speak tonight. And we actually appreciate the ordinance itself, meaning we like to have clarity and transparency. We want to know what the requirements are. And this does that in large part by outlining the rules in advance, and that is always very helpful. We're generally supportive of the ordinance. We don't have any real objections to it. We did provide some comments and recommendations that we think might provide some benefits. And I won't go through all of them, but on the setbacks themselves, we are suggesting that we be 75 feet instead of 100. That is consistent with some of the other setbacks in other regions. The primary purpose of the setback is one of the largest concerns that people raise about solar farms, solar arrays, is people seeing them. They don't really want to see them. They want to have a landscape buffer. They want a visible barrier. And really, 75 feet is enough room to, you know, properly screen the facilities. And so that's a request that we would like to add. Just more of a document standpoint for clarity. Throughout the document, references, it'll say solar panel, solar farm, solar array. Just for a consistency standpoint, we suggest sticking with solar panel. Some confusion has created in other jurisdictions when we start talking about setbacks with solar. The question becomes, well, is it the fence that encloses the solar field, or is it the panels themselves? And so just making sure that that is clear in ordinance one way or the other. And then on the landscape buffer, no objection to the landscape buffer. It makes perfect sense. Very typical. Would clarify, however, that when landscaping, when you're adjacent to existing woods or existing screening, that there wouldn't necessarily be a need for a buffer or additional landscape buffer in that location. So maybe suggesting some clarity there. But the biggest thing that we would like to propose is that the county find some way that in some conditions or scenarios that these can't be a by-right use. We're currently conditional use. This ordinance maintains that conditional use. It's a lengthy process, as you know. It's some of the ones that you look at tonight for a year or so in the making. You know, with these rules that you're now putting in place, you're answering a lot of the concerns that typically are raised by the public with these facilities. There's minimal impact to the neighbors with these. There's no traffic, noise, dust, emissions, smells, runoff, heat impact, etc. The primary objectives that we hear are screening, visibility, buffering, and decommissioning. What's going to happen to this facility at the end of its life cycle? That's usually a concern. If your ordinance addresses that properly with a decommissioning plan and bonding requirements, and so that does address that major concern. You know, there's been a number of these that have come through the process, and there really hasn't been significant opposition to these at this point. So for these reasons, we would request the county consider some option to make them by right. One thing that Kent County did was they created an acreage threshold. They basically said if your facility is under this acreage, it can go through. Now they do what is called it's only conditional use if somebody objects. So it's an administrative review. You notify the neighbor. If the neighbors object or if they receive an objection, then it does go to conditional use public hearing. But that's only for under, I think, 40 or 50 acres. Anything over that is still considered a large scale solar. It can go through a conditional use process. So that's really our comment, and I apologize for not being there presently. I unfortunately had some other commitments that are taking me away, but I appreciate the opportunity to comment. There is a weird delay on this call, so hopefully you heard me and it all worked.
It worked great. Don't worry about that. So yeah, we appreciate your.
That's all.
All right.
Okay.
We appreciate your comments. They're useful.
Yep. Thank you. All right, operator. Is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
Okay, thank you.
There's nothing in this that would preclude them from farming the property as well. That's one of the things that's going on right now in California. They're trying to figure out ways to farm it as well. So.
We often hear about goats and other secondary uses and
exactly.
Beekeeping.
No, so there's not.
Okay, I didn't think there would be.
I actually could envision a situation where if the land value supported it, that you could actually build a steel structure with long clear spans underneath, and the panels would be above, and you could would actually be able to,
because the panels would rotate, so there would still be sun and air.
There would still be some sun. It wouldn't be perfect, but there are things that you could grow there.
Yeah, they're experimenting with that now.
Yeah, so
because
yeah.
That's one of the complaints people have, is that you're taking.
That's the big
land that
issue.
Could be feeding the nation.
Well, you're just growing electricity instead of growing food.
There you go.
No, seriously. I mean, you know, you're harvesting electricity instead of wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and electricity pays pretty good. So,
well, it pays better than farming most times.
Well, I'm glad to see us moving forward with something. I'm sure. I think Mr. Ryman's comments were helpful, and perhaps some of that can find its way in.
That's too. Yeah.
The draft, and Mr. Hutt brought up an excellent issue that needs to be addressed too. So both of them, we appreciate your being here and being so patient. It's only been 4 hours and 15 minutes. Okay, that completes our agenda. Referring back to.